Welcome to North Valley's devotional podcast for February 17th, 2021. Today we'll be reading from Genesis 19, verses 23 through 29 from the CEV. The sun was coming up as Lot reached the town of Zoar, and the Lord sent burning sulfur down like rain on Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed those cities and everyone who lived in them, as well as their land and the trees and the grass that grew there. On the way, Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a block of salt. That same morning, Abraham got up and went to the place where he had stood and spoken with the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and saw smoke rising from all over the land. It was like a flaming furnace. When God destroyed the cities of the valley where Lot lived, he remembered his promise to Abraham and saved Lot from the terrible destruction. Genesis 19 wraps up with the destruction of Sodom and the dumpster fire of the last stories of Lot, Abraham's nephew. Just in case this chapter of scripture wasn't already strange enough, Lot's wife gets turned into a pillar of salt, Sodom is destroyed by raining sulfur, and though we didn't read the passage here, Lot has drunken, incestuous relationships with his daughters by their schemes. It's a Renaissance painter's delight of a chapter, with such vivid and indecent details, but not so much for those trying to make sense of it in the light of spiritual formation. The first thing to do if we want to get to the heart of this story is to recognize the ideologies and historical explanations going on here. Lot's wife being turned to a pillar of salt is easily enough understood as an explanation of the geographical features, the salt deposits and pillars, that surround the area where this took place. The stories of drunken Lot and his daughters and their subsequent offspring are explanations of the origins of Ammon and Moab, enemies of Israel. When we study scripture, we need to remember that it is the result of storytelling from a particular perspective. Genesis is the origin story of the people of Israel and the story of how things came to be. The emotional core and the main teaching of these stories still resides around trust and God's connection with Abraham. Lot is saved from the destruction of Sodom because of Abraham's prayer for him, not his own merits or trust. Lot, for at least the third time, proves he's a damp squib. He isn't all that bright, he isn't particularly faithful, and he's mostly self-interested. His wife disobeys a direct instruction from the angels. Lot and his family are set in contrast to Abraham. Lot is not terrible. He still practices hospitality, at least of a sort. But trust and obedience are not the words that pop out to describe him. Abraham, on the other hand, is dedicated to listening and responding to God, even if he does so in starts and stops. Abraham recognizes the presence of God and fully engages with God. Part of the takeaway of this story is that God hears Abraham's prayer. God doesn't save Sodom, as there weren't even 10 righteous folks there, but God does save Lot. In a narrative often short on giving direct instruction to what the story might mean, the storytellers in this case go out of their way to remind the listener that God saved Lot because of Abraham's prayer. The implication is that God hears, and the encouragement is to trust and engage as Abraham did. The story of Sodom looms large in the narrative of Scripture. Certainly it's a fantastical tale, prompting documentaries with suppositions of acid rain and sun flares even still. But aside from the speculations of what actual physical manifestation the burning sulfur took, the implications of God's wrath and the sin of Sodom find their way into the words of Moses, the prophets, and Jesus. The comparisons of the sins of Israel to Sodom is code for, that's really bad. Jesus suggested on multiple occasions that the folks of Sodom would get off easier on Judgment Day than folks who were rejecting him, Matthew 11:24. Part of the implication is that the subsequent generations, in particular those who've heard Jesus, don't have the excuse of not knowing better. Not that the actions of Sodom are excusable, but over the centuries the prophets have continued to call people to care for each other, to observe the core of the law, loving God and others. Some questions for today. How do you engage with scripture like this? Are you tempted to write it off as inapplicable? Genesis doesn't comment on Abraham's reaction to the destruction of Sodom. What do you think his response was? When you are aware of places of evil, do you pray for them? Are you quick to minimize your or our brokenness with God in comparison to places like Sodom?